they have
need another memory? That's not like really, a video game, huh? You can't just crash and start over.
There's no reset.
The reason why I'm asking so many questions, because I would consider doing something like that part-time, but yeah. I can't give up what I'm looking at now, because I was also going to announce that I'm looking at a new job opportunity at Sumitomo for a maintenance position that I'm applying for. I just put in the resume this morning, I know it was last night, put in the resume last night, sent in my credentials and all that stuff. And I'll hear back from her in about 2 weeks. If I get that job, it'll be working third shift from 10:30 at night till 6:30 in the morning. But I'll get $23 an hour to start, and then after 2 years, I'll be making $27 an hour. And that's great. That's plenty to live on, but my goal is not just to get by. My goal is to pay off my debts. So if I could do that and then do something else like that on the side, if I get my debts paid off quicker, that's what would motivate me to do it.
Yeah, I don't, as of now, I'm kind of, other than the video part of it, I know almost nothing about it, you know, unfortunately. But I really think it, my father-in-law's convinced that it's one of these things that is really going to take off, and we're at the very start of it now, and it's one of the things we're going to look back on in like a year or two and think, we really should have got into that.
Especially out here. There's so much rural area.
Storms.
Yeah, right. Well, not just in Kentucky. He works around here.
He works a lot in West Virginia, which obviously is just a state over. So much. I don't mind to travel, you know.
That's 5 hours away, though.
Especially just starting off, I don't mind traveling.
They're like 5 hours away?
I don't know.
Yeah, going to Morehead City way. I used to go to Morehead State University to preach. It's probably about 3.5-4 hours at least.
Yeah.
Just at the border of West Virginia and Kentucky.
I wouldn't be surprised that you could have one of these drones outfitted with a cell phone receiver and then pilot it from remote somewhere else in the country.
Maybe, I don't know.
So I could see that.
I don't know of any technology like that right now, but they all have, you know, all the expensive ones, once you get into $1,000 plus, they all have really good GPS systems.
The reason why I say that is because Amazon's got drones up in Manhattan, and they're actually delivering
packages. You saw the video, right?
Yeah, and they've already started doing that.
Did you see the video?
I heard about it. Yeah, they started doing that right before I left this last time. They had the trial run before I left.
The biggest thing is flying through the air in Manhattan, New York City,
dropping packages off on the front doorstep.
The biggest thing about it right now is concerning.
I mean, with bomb, they would be thinking like some terrorist stuff's flying through there. Somebody shoot that stuff down or something, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
The biggest thing about it right now is that over the past like 3 or 4 years, this drones have gotten really popular, and everybody's buying them and flying them over big crowds of people and stuff, and they're crashing them and killing people or hurting them really bad. Now they're, from my father-in-law, this information coming from him, they're coming out with a thing that you have to get now, a certificate to own one or whatever. Not to own one, but to fly it.
Like a license on the aircraft,
pretty much.
Right, makes sense.
So that's really going to slow people down, which is good for us, and good for us too, because the company he works for, he has connections with all those people that he can help get that quicker, obviously, just like I explained, and get us jobs to start out with, because that's what I was telling my brother-in-law the other day. It's like, it kind of looks bad when we go to get hired and we have no experience and no recommendations. You know, but that's what he said. You know, Lee has all that stuff because he's been flying now for
four years.
You know, he's been with the helicopter service, so they can look at him. And even though he'll kind of be the one helping us get out, I think he's kind of just wanting to help us start off now, and then he'll probably just get out of it later on. I think. I don't know that. But either way, he's helping us right now, so that's good. So we're going to talk about it some more today, and I'm willing to invest in an aircraft if we need to get one.
So we're talking when you say drone, how is that different than a remote control plane?
That's all it is, pretty much.
That's basically
it. It's a bigger version.
So you'd be standing down at the base of the tree or at the base of the area, and he'd be able to see it and pilot that way, right?
This has like carbon fiber rails on it, carbon fiber propellers, a 4K camera. You know, really high definition.
So it's an advanced remote control.
Pretty much. It has like the GPS systems on them. You can take them up and set your point where you take off. And even if you fly it 2 or 3 miles away, if you just hit one button, it'll come exactly back to where it took off.
Oh, wow.
Or you can fly up and just let go of the controls and it'll stay right there. It won't move.
Yeah. Well, I think there's like this video
and I think if we're talking about the same thing, are a lot of them, they're white.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's this video. It's supposed to be like some like your Superman, and the guy takes off, and then it's one of those helicopters, and you're going throughout the whole city, and he gets way up there, and they're nice, and like then you can look at the behind the scenes, and like you can actually see what it is, and it has like little thing on it and cameras, and it's cool, man.
Yeah, DJI is the company that makes like probably the majority of them, and they came out with one called the Phantom like 3 years ago, I think, and it was the most popular one because it was inexpensive, like at $600 or $700 starting off, and anybody could buy it, and it was a really good, well-made one. So that's when people really started getting into it, and of course photographers and videographers are getting into them now because they use them for weddings and I could video land for people to sell. You know, if you get one, once you make the investment in it, you can really opens up.
Yeah, so you've seen so you're probably not knowing, but in a lot of the videos and stuff that we see, documentaries and stuff, I see them like. You know, you see the land, the cliff, they're like, and that would be like a drone.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You can do that too, brother, as a side money.
Yeah.
But you're not having contracts. You can go up there and get this video.
And I see that those kind of shots.
These video blocks. You can sell those video blocks online.
Yeah.
You can sell those.
Yeah. We thought about stuff like that already.
Yeah, people will buy that.
Like those pictures of Israel or Ireland, where you're like flying over the land and stuff like that.
It's not as good as a person going up in a helicopter with a camera. Mm-hmm. Because with these cameras, you are limited. The biggest limitation drones have right now are, that's where you get into higher price ranges, are how much they can carry, how much weight they can carry, and for how long a time. So the entry-level ones I was talking about, $600-$700, you're talking about a GoPro, you know, a little GoPro camera, or they have their own cameras that they make that are good quality, high-definition cameras. And they can fly like 8 minutes. You know, so you get up into ones that are bigger that can carry a camera like I shoot on, like a DSLR, for 30 minutes.
Okay.
You know,
and
so
they can go up higher probably.
Yeah, and they can go longer distances. And and the problem is with this, none that I know of as of now, they make with a camera that has a capability to zoom while it's in there. Huh. It seems really simple, but they don't have one that I know of that can. That's where you get limitations. You can take somebody up in a helicopter with a camera that has interchangeable lenses. They can take one off, put one on if they need to, and go from 300 millimeters to 12.
The drone can't do that.
So it's a fixed focal
until
length.
They make it more advanced where you could change out.
Yeah. Of course you can digitally zoom.
That's
going
to be robotics and stuff, and all that's going to be.
I can go in. We can go in and post video editing and digitally zoom, but that's not optically zooming. You know, it ruins the quality the closer you go with the digital. So you can do that.
It's probably hard to get the optical zoom on a remote control.
Yeah, well, they have even motorized focusing systems, and all that weighs more weight, more battery power to do all that. So, you know, they've got $20,000 drones out there that come with cameras on them, but they still don't zoom while they're up there.
Right.
Yeah. The government has some of them.
Probably.
They got some drones, right? But there's probably a limit on how you can go with those too, right?
Yeah, I don't even know the limits on the ones that we're looking at, but
you're just trying to get the power lines and stuff like that.
That's as high as we're gonna go, you know, for now. Mm-hmm. And to get close enough that they can see what they need to see, and then, you know, hopefully I don't know how accurate this information is, but he was saying he's pretty sure they have some way to even directly link it right to the line company where we won't even have to worry about like editing the video and all that. We can just
stream it.
Shoot it right to them.
That'd be great.
You know, which would just speed up the process for us. You know,
and you get paid sooner.
Yeah. So anyway, long story long. I think I'm losing my job, but that might be good. You know.
Right.
So be praying for us for that. And in the meantime, if I had to get a job somewhere, that'd be the right place for the right amount of time. And
thing I like about Sumitomo, it doesn't pay a whole lot, but you're only there for 8 hours. They pay for the whole 8 hours. You don't have to, you know, go to lunch and not get paid for your lunch.
Yeah.
So you're only there for 8 hours, and also the work itself is completely amoral. You're just making parts for cars.
Yeah.
That's all you're doing. You're either you're inside doing like what he's doing, running the process through these little robotic machines. Then the robotic machines do really pretty much all the work. Mm-hmm. And you just move from place to place. Either you're doing something like that, or you're doing like what I'm doing, working in the warehouse. And when I'm working in a warehouse, I'm just bringing all the parts in that they need so that they keep running. Yeah. And I'm writing down part numbers. I'm scanning stuff in. I'm organizing with the team leader. Okay, I need this, 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 and this. And I'll go out there and see if we've got it. And I say, okay, we've got this many of this, this many of this, this many of this. I mean, I just help coordinate that stuff. So it's either one of those two things. But it's good work. You know, I mean, it's not something that's going to conflict your morals at all.
Yeah.
So I really like that.
Right now, some lines are working weekends. So,
like, yeah, there'd be working, Saturdays and Sundays today. Sometimes.
Yeah, I heard you say
that. And I'm working Sunday. So.
But if you need money, it could be a good thing.
Yeah.
But
are you working tomorrow, too?
That's why I like the second shift, because second shift, even if I had to work on a Sunday, I could still come in for the teaching and then leave early and go to work.
It's going to be a big change for Chandler and I, because up to this point, since we've been married, there's been pros and cons to working for my family. You know, the pros being I can take off when I want, I can leave when I want. My family's 100 yards from me, you know, at the sacrifice of not making very much money. You know, I didn't get paid a lot there. We didn't get overtime or anything like that. So there's, you know, and now it's going to be almost flipped around depending on where I work. I'm going to be away from my family and not be able to take off necessarily whenever I want to.
Now, if there's emergencies,
so I'll make more money.
If there's emergencies, the first 30 days, you can't get more than 2 points in the first 30 days. But then after that, you got as much as 8 points. And if you go 30 days of perfect attendance and showing up at work on time and not leaving early, then you get one of those points taken off. Now, if you got zero, like I used to, well, actually, I still have zero. If you have zero and you go 30 days of perfect attendance, you still get a point, but now you got negative one.
Okay.
And I had negative one, but then I took the day off the other day, and now I'm back at zero. So you can actually, if you have good attendance, have negative one, negative two, negative three. An emergency comes up, you have to take the day off, you just take the day off.
Just lose a point.
And lose a point. So with that point system, the way that is, it gives you flexibility for emergencies.
Yeah.
Or if you've just been working 7 days a week for like 2 weeks, you're like, no, I really don't want to work today. You just call in.
My job, my pay time off adds up like extremely fast. That's one of the benefits. That's like really, really quickly. So if I need to take some time off, I can take it off really quickly, and I'll gain it back within 2 weeks. You know, so that's a good thing. It adds up really fast.
Best benefits I ever had for days off was in the Army. 30 days off a year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't use your 30 days off, it continued to accumulate. So when I was time for me to get out, I had like 60 days that I never took off. I left 2 months early and got paid. It was 2 months.
And the state has lots of
But as far as the shirts and stuff are concerned, obviously wouldn't have anything to do with them. Wouldn't recommend them anymore. Whatever recommendations I would make from a website or Facebook, I've already taken those things down. So.
And the communication is not just with Jeremy, but it would be Jeremy and Sarah.
That's right. So, both of them. She's making a guy do the technician too. So we, in the meantime, until, you know, Lord willing, something happens here, one of us could do it, it would be something that we would just, you know, go to a local shop in Edmonton. There's a guy in Columbia too who I've had to make this for me. So,
who would be interested in that if there was that possibility?
I would.
You would be interested.
Yeah.
You'd work in it or just getting stuff.
Well, you would make money off
stuff,
of it.
But huh?
You would make money off of it. I mean, if you did it.
Yeah. I'm
we
can
set up a website.
I'm just asking who would be interested in that.
Secondarily to the drone fighting, I would be interested. I have some experience in that, so.
I'm not interested, but I'd be interested in
buying
the possibility of
having the resource.
Possibility of if the Lord made it possible to do, then I'd be interested.
And we could buy the shirts, those irregular bulk. If you can buy a 500 shirts that have like a small something wrong with them, something that they can't sell as brand new in stores, but really it's really nothing big.
Yeah,
use like a stitch here misplaced. Not like holes or anything, but just a misstitch here, misstitch there. And you get shirts like that extremely cheap. And if you use those as your printing or your vinyl, you can keep the cost down low if you do that.
Maybe you can look up some of the equipment, brother, and let us know.
Yeah, I can look at both. I know that the cutters can be expensive. You can get a cutter for $500 for a vinyl cutter. That's a nice one. Or you can spend as much as $12,000. It depends on the amount of blades, the type of blades they are, and the length of the cutter, how big of a piece of vinyl can it process. Mm-hmm. And they all hook up to the computer, and they use a program that you make your patterns in the program, and once you got all your patterns made, you hit the right button, and then it just cuts it right into the vinyl. And then you take it, take the vinyl, put it on the shirt, remove all the negative space, you know, the part that's not being used in the printing, and you move that off, and you place it on the shirt and everything, and the shirt's nice and clean, pulled nice and straight, and you have your iron, it's a press. And you press it down, and you have to know how much time, like how many seconds, and a lot of them have timers you can set on there. Mm-hmm. You set the timer where you want, you press it down, it beeps, you open it back up.
Now, maybe you can, since you've already done some research, you have some knowledge, if you could research that, and mm-hmm. not the very lowest end thing, that would limit us on right. some things, but kind of a quality right. mid-range type of thing.
I show both for the screen printing and the vinyl, I can show both.
That'd be good.
The thing is neat about the screen printing is it starts off when you make your patterns of screen printing. You take a transparency, like a plastic transparency, and you put it in a printer. They prefer laser printing, but you put it in a printer, and you print on this transparency. And most printers have the option of using transparency as your printing medium. And you print your pattern on the transparency, and you take the transparency to a dark room, like you're photographing a film and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you expose it onto this material. Hmm. And once you expose it onto this material, you wash it, and then the part that's not exposed washes out, and what's left is your pattern that you screen print with. And that's how you make your screens.
Interesting.
It's like making a photograph. It's really interesting.
That is interesting.
That company I was telling you about, they had a big...
Well, but it's a long process, but once you get the screen set up...
Once the screen is made...
You can do many multiple shirts.
You can make that same pattern on many shirts.
If you had a pattern
over and over and over
again. A lot
like if you had that pattern right there, like say if you had the pattern with the blue right there, like praise and then Jesus with the space in between, that'd be one pattern, and then the Lord would be another pattern, and you just... When you put the screen in there, you squeegee that praise the Lord on there, or praise Jesus on there first with blue, and then after that's been cured and dried, then you put it on there again with the other screen and the black, let that cure and dry, and that shirt's done. If, like I said, if you do 50 with the blue and then let them all cure, then do it 50 again with the black, you're done.
Seems a lot more involved. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
That's why they recommend the multiple stations.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it for business. But, you know, it just depends on which way you want to go. You could start with the vinyl, and then if the vinyl becomes good enough, that could roll into the other, if that was even still.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know, like, a lot of the ministries that we work with, adoption agencies, and a lot of the families, adopting families, they make custom shirts. You know, like, mm-hmm. we were at the conference, the big CAPO conference, Nashville. I was talking to a guy. He does shirts, fundraising shirts, as people families are raising funds for their adoption and different things. And so there's a lot of shirt making that goes on in like the work that we do, right? the ministries and stuff. They're always making shirts to get their families, and the families are always making shirts. And so mm-hmm. they do the screen printing. Right? That's
but more complex than what you do.
Okay, yeah.
For lettering, design.
Just lettering. Just lettering, you're probably right, because there's different designs and stuff.
Most graphic companies
and stuff like that.
Most graphic companies have vinyl and screen printing.
Okay.
Almost all of you go to that.
They use one for some things and
the other. Or you have the other, the third option, which is different for both of us, where you print something. It's only like a square, a rectangle.
Right.
And I don't know if it's ironed onto there or what, but it goes onto it, and it actually is something you design on a computer. I can actually do this with my printing company. Got that much
like
area.
A picture on there,
almost like a picture on there, but it's so much a part of the shirt you really can't tell. And Jeremy
kind of faded,
had done
kind of faded looking a little bit.
No, it's not that. Jeremy had done these.
Track shirts, wasn't that what he was doing?
The track shirts, where he had the beautiful track on the front and the track miss on the back. That was that.
Yeah.
And so he's done that with other shirts too. That's completely different.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about this, the vinyl is probably the best way to go. Because now that I'm thinking about the uses for these things, the vinyl would have more uses, because I don't know, can you do what you're talking about and make
banners.
Shirts like that? Banners can be made with the vinyl cutter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I actually watched that being done. Mm-hmm. I don't believe he's a brother, but it was a long time ago. I went out to SOPA, and I went to, he calls himself Bible Jim Weber. And I went to his house, and he had a bunch of us preachers go to his house, and he showed us step-by-step how to make banners, mm-hmm. how he makes it from his home. Mm-hmm. And he was bragging along the way, and I didn't like that. And there was a lot of things I didn't like about that day, but I was paying attention to the banner making.
Banner making, yeah. Well, that'd be good. Yeah, did. He researched that and let it, let
Brother Jose actually emailed me recently.
Oh, he did?
He emailed me from Munoz.
Yeah.
He asked me if I had any blank banners.
Yeah, because he has, well, Kevin gave him that equipment. Okay. And
so I don't
another know. Thing is you can also do the cars.
The cars.
Like Jose's car is like a big banner. You've seen Jose's car, right?
No, I've seen cars with.
So you stand next to it.
My friend was at Green River Graphics, we would go over there because we were into cars big time, and we would go there and just print just huge stickers. We put our car in the weekly, we take them off because we were getting it all for free. Just go in there and make whatever we wanted.
Right.
And even the wicked stuff sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of people at the in Britt Williams Church down there. Consuming Fire Fellowship, that's what I was trying to think of. A lot of them, all the men, they have all their vehicles lettered up. Hmm. All of them are lettered up.
Kind of lettering, yeah.
And some of them, I think they had Jeff Wallace make when he was still part of them, but then now they order off for it to be done. They send it in and they have it contracted to be done and they buy it. But yeah, they all have lettering on their vehicles. And a lot of it's pretty ornate, pretty impressive looking. Hmm. So there's a lot you can do with vinyl.
Yeah.
A lot you can do with that. You can put it on the glass or on the metal.
Yeah.
They actually have these ones that you can put on the glass on your back window. Mm-hmm. It has holes in it. So when you're looking through your rear view, you can still have visual view from inside the car. But outside the car, you see a message there.
Is that kind of like the wraps? Like where they wrap your car?
Well, a wrap is just all one big, huge piece of vinyl.
Okay, you've seen those like businesses?
It's almost like a heat shrink material too, because you heat it as you apply it.
Okay.
Because it stretches.
Yeah.
You know, you can stretch it over the car and heat it, and you have to squeegee it off.
Yeah, that's something different.
I can see trying to do that. Our cars would have all kinds of bubbles in them.
it's a big process to wrap. My buddy used to wrap too. I never helped him with one though. But it's a big job to do one.
Yeah, it looks like
charge a lot of money for that.
Yeah.
I mean, unless we did Brother Joshua's car, it wouldn't be that big of a job.
Delete.
We could wrap yours up.
We can't wrap that. It's a lease. So.
Oh right.
Yeah, I think that the vinyl cutting would probably be the only way to go.
Yeah,
because of all the other things that you can do with it.
Yeah, if you could research that, that'd be great.
All right. Well, anyone have any questions about anything?
Tomorrow.
That's because we haven't been really interested yet.
Yeah. Well, he's got to work. You'd have to leave tomorrow. What time?
1:50.
So, that later.
Maybe we should not push it back.
Yeah, we did 11 o'clock before. We didn't really, I don't think we really came to a firm decision about whether we're going to eat or we're going to do about food tomorrow.
Kind of last minute. I was thinking, it's going to be hard bring all kinds of crock pots over here tomorrow because we haven't really thought about how that's all going to work. Some families are bigger than others, but I was thinking that if we just brought enough for our own families and not bring enough for, because when I bring a crock pot, my wife and I are not going to eat that whole crock pot. We're bringing enough food for everyone else when we do that.
Just enough food for one meal.
Right. So if we had enough food for one meal for our families, me and my wife would just bring a couple sandwiches for us.
And even if, there's outlets, so, but if it was just enough for each family, that'd probably be
And if your family is big enough that you require a crock pot to feed just your family, then that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. So we can bring crock pots, but I think we should limit it.
Well, would you say it'd be smarter just to, like, wait and just eat back at home?
Wait for your second meal.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're going to have one meal here. Yeah. You're going to meet normal time.
Yeah, that's fine. We have outlets. There's room. I mean, if you have to bring crock, that's fine. If you have to bring crock pots and whatever, you know, but if it'll cut it down just thinking one meal, it'll probably, and then for your family, that'll kind of cut it down a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Because I think we still want to spend a lot of the day together if we can.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to bring another table back here, and maybe you can help me with that from the addition over there.
Yeah.
I think we have a table over there.
Yeah, we do.
I have some of those white folded tables.
Yes, folded.
Well, I was going to put one in here permanently. Okay. A wooden one.
Yeah,
so they're going to have the table there, we'll have the table
over there. Yeah, chunky outside, too. I mean.
And then we got the tables out here. And then, what I was thinking is that all the double gate over there, I'll just open that, and then just kind of for the flow of traffic and everything, I was thinking that if we go in that way, and then come through this back way.
Yeah.
So instead of around the front, through the
gotcha,
here.
Like
so the double gate over there, you know, with the double gate.
Yeah.
It's at the end of the rock, the driveway right there. Come in there, and then come through the back here, and then come through this door.
Yeah.
And. So that's what I was thinking probably be good. And I was going to see about possibly...
I could bring plates and cups and napkins. You know,
okay.
I could bring that stuff in there, you know, forks or whatever.
And bring purified water. Because I get that from Walmart's reverse osmosis water.
Okay. And then this is usually...
We'll have tea, we'll have water though.
Yeah. And then I bought this here. So. Got it.
We can put the water I bring in there. You know.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Yeah, we usually bring water too. So,
but I was thinking just like for the children, I was thinking at the end of the house here, instead of having them running around the house and stuff like that, just keep it all in that open area instead of around the house and around the kennels and everything like that.
There's plenty of area like that.
Yeah, so it's fenced in, but I was thinking of maybe Tom, you all could help me think of what would be good. I was thinking of putting like a staking in a little fence right there and then maybe one going across right here. So that way there's just not running around the whole house.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
What do you think I should do? Do we have any stakes around anything like that around here?
Yeah, I've got T posts.
You got something
in my backyard.
Do something like that.
But I don't have a T-post hammer.
Yeah, I always use John's.
T-post. Yeah,
that's what I use.
That's like the just the metal things.
It's for making fences.
It has a hole in it. It has a hole inside of it. It's a cylinder, and then it has a middle section that's metal. And you just kind of put the pole inside of here, bang it down.
Okay. The posts themselves are metal poles that are made for fencing.
Right. Yeah, like the green,
the green and white fencing poles.
You can't just put those in. By hand?
You could try, but
that's a lot of work, man.
No way, man.
You can.
They're too tall to even swing a hammer on, too.
Well, we had those octocopters, you could pick it up and just drop it from really high.
Is it 1 o'clock?
I guess I'm thinking of something different. I'm thinking of the little chicken wire garden fencing kind of.
No, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Really?
Yeah, you can talk about the green T post. Has a T at the bottom.
No, it's like
I think he's talking about rebar. That might even be better.
You have to use a hammer still.
Okay.
Well, I got to go to work today, but if someone could find a place where we can maybe borrow or rent one of those T-post hammers, I got T-post in the backyard.
Okay. So we would just put a little fence across there, and then one over here at the end of the addition to meet up to the back fence, so those areas are blocked off so it's not running around the house.
Oh, what you do? You got a little rope?
Well, I've got metal. I got metal wire.
Yeah, it would go under.
Well, no, if you tie it up, tell them don't go past this, and
that's
then if
true.
They do go past it, they get the rod.
Good
so
point.
I mean, that saves
require more supervision for sure.
Huh?
Yeah. Would require more supervision for sure.
I've got metal wire because I was using those T-posts to hold my plants in the garden. And I was using metal wire to do that.
Like,
it.
chicken?
It's actually electrical wire for electric fence. But
I'm not gonna do that.
What about the rod?
You wouldn't need one for supervision.
But we don't have to hook it up.
I don't know now. My family might just try to touch it.
It is a strong
just
wire.
Just because it's electric, but
I just want to find out.
Another 3 times before she runs. Oh, okay, it really is on.
But it is a strong wire. It's not stronger than a string.
That is valid. But you're talking about chicken wire. You're talking about wire that you can climb through and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, they, if we put several of those wires up there, I mean, they would know that they were disobeying if they tried to climb through that.
Scarecrow. Okay. Yeah, whatever's easier.
Just put a scarecrow.
Just put a roll of barbed wire there.
Put a scarecrow back there.
Oh, no. Okay. So what's the consensus we think would work?
I think
we do actually have chicken wire that we actually have. So we do have
wire would work. Yeah, we have a roll of zip ties. Zip ties. Air man zip ties.
Chicken wire. And zip
well,
ties?
My the electric wire I got
the chicken wire
can be cut in short length and twisted.
Oh, to the T post, right? Yeah.
Okay. The wire that I've got that can actually be cut in short lengths and twisted to hold the chicken wire on, because you could use, it'd be a lot better than a zip tie.
No.
Oh, yes, it would.
My whole chicken yard is filled with zip ties.
Those things are going to wear out, it's all going to fall off.
You better get the gray ones or the black ones. If you use the white ones, the sun will cause them to go.
That's the thing, eventually they'll probably crack and break.
If they're white, if they're gray or black, they stand up against the sun a lot better. But if they're white, that they'll become brittle and break.
Which ones do you have, bro?
I got my white ones.
So
yeah, you want the gray ones and the black ones.
So I think gray and black.
Whatever comes in the 3,000 pack, that's the color he's got.
They're more resistant to the UV rays.
You guys are gone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, are they here? Or no? They're just over there. I thought they went in town.
No, the car's back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's been like 3 hours.
Maybe they're visiting my wife.
Yeah, they might be over there. I need to get that table.
Okay, is there anything that you need us to do? I'll get the blades and the coffee if it works.
Someone could come over to the T-post.
I already have some of that stuff. Someone's over at Johnstown.
T-post hammer?
Just some rope. T-post hammer?
Some rope?
T-post hammer?
In your back pocket.
It's like, here you go. Just don't happen to have one.
But your hand was a T-post hammer.
It used to be.
I wonder if the Woodwards would have one.
They probably would have one. They probably would have
one. You could ask them if they have one.
I don't know if one that we have. I mean, I got a big sledgehammer, but I don't know if we don't have
that. That would help.
Well, that'd be difficult.
It'd be difficult, but I think it could work. But
I know T-posts are just so tall, a lot of times at least start
think
off,
a rope
it's hard
might
to
somebody would have to hold it while someone else hit it.
No. The rope could work.
Yeah, just have two ropes tied off, one kind of high, one kind of low, and be like, you go past and y'all in trouble.
I mean, that's...
If you wanted something more permanent...
If we did that this week, we could just announce next week.
Yeah.
Ideally, you could get the rectangular fencing, the 4-foot-tall rectangular fencing that comes in a roll. Put some T-posts in there and just roll it out.
I actually might have some extra of that, some extra fencing like that. I wouldn't mind actually possibly buying a T-post hammer. I can
make one before we buy one.
Oh, okay.
I'm just talking about before tomorrow. I wouldn't have. Mm-hmm. But I can make people.
Yeah, they can be welded welded up and make one.
Yeah, we can just do whatever tomorrow and then see what we can do in the future.
And tomorrow is just going to be like fellowship, singing, praying, and stuff.
That.
We're not going to be having a teaching tomorrow. So we'll be singing, worship, and praying. No official teaching tomorrow. But I have one next week. It's just sort of the traditional period here where we try not to get past this little bump. This big bump. Up. All right, well, if no one has any other questions, I guess we can conclude the meeting here and we can finish off with prayer. You want to pray for a quick bit?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all the care that you have for us, Lord. And says, Brother Kevin pointed out, Lord, that you care for us even before the care comes into view, Lord. And you do things for us even beforehand, even before we need it, Lord. You've already made provision for us in advance. Thank you for that, Lord. And we pray for help during this time, Lord. Getting through this issue, Lord, and dealing with the breaking of ties with the McGlone family, Lord, and everything that would mean. And just pray for your strength in that, Lord, and also that we would all just cling all that much more tighter to you, that we would cling more tightly to you, Lord, that we would not say in our hearts, well, that's someone else, that's someone who's weaker in the faith or weak on doctrine, or, well, I know, Lord, that John was not those things. This could happen to any one of us. It begins by not applying your warnings to us, Lord. I pray that you would continue to apply your warnings to us, either for correction or prevention, Lord, that we'd be strengthened through this, Lord, and that it would just not happen again. We would not continue to lose members of this fellowship to the enemy. We would not continue to allow the enemy into our lives, Lord, and cause all this damage and destruction. This is all the damage and destruction that John has caused by allowing the enemy in his life. I do pray, Lord, that you would chastise him and heavily convict him, Lord, and that he would come to a place of godly sorrow over all of this, and he would truly repent over all of it. He would just unconditionally repent to you, Lord, for all of this, Lord. He might be returned to fellowship with you, Lord, and they might have eternal life. I also pray for his family, that they're still following you, Lord, that they would continue to follow you, even under the conditions that they're in, Lord. And if they're not, Lord, that they would also repent of whatever sin that they might be in. I don't know if they are in any sin at all, but if they are, I would pray that would be resolved. But in any case, Lord, I just pray that they would just draw to you, Lord. Whether drawing back to you or drawing closer to you, that they would just draw to you, Lord, and that you would help them, Lord, individually how they need help. I just pray that you would prevail in this situation, Lord, that pray this so much, Lord, that this lump would be pure, that this lump would remain pure. And that it's not just a responsibility of us, Lord, as elders, Lord, but it's the responsibility of every single person in this fellowship to keep this lump pure. And we individually want to keep our lives pure. And we would seek to please you, Lord, with everything that we do. All this I pray, Lord, and I pray that all this information is accurately conveyed to all the families, Lord, and that we heal from losing a limb of our body, Lord. We've lost a limb. And that we would go through all the proper healing for that, Lord. All this I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.